This is Make Something Cool. I'm Alex Sugg. Today, I am super stoked to be sitting down with Valandis. Valandis is a photographer, vlogger, streamer, and one of my favorite creators to follow. Valandis, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, bro. You're too kind, too. That was really nice of you to say. Thank you.
It's true. One of my best buddies, Josh, he sent me some of your work maybe 2 months ago or something, and I just dove into your vlogs and I just couldn't stop watching. There's just something really cool about them. And we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But one thing that I really noticed that I kind of wanted to start with is Detroit. You live in Detroit. Most of your work is based in Detroit. Maybe let's start there. Tell me about Detroit.
I was born and raised here. Midwest city, just like pretty poverty ridden city. If you know anything about Detroit, you know, it's on a comeback now and it's like doing things now. The city's doing things now to like kind of get rid of that image and fixing things and building things up and bringing in jobs and just uplifting the city more. But when I was growing up, it was, I lived in an inner city. So basically it was like your typical inner city life, you know, things of that nature, like violence and crime and, you know, just poverty. But yeah, bro. Other than that, though, regardless of any of those things, because I don't think those things represent a city just because, I mean, because that's in any city. But other than that, it was amazing living here. I love living here. Probably will live here for the rest of my life. I haven't been to another city where I get the same feeling that I get being here in Detroit. Like even when I go to LA, New York, or any other places, I've been a couple places out of the country. By the end of that, I'm just so ready to come back home. Like, yeah. I can't wait to be back in Detroit. It's probably weird for some people to hear because some people probably think of Detroit and they're like, what's in Detroit? But for me, it's just like, it's home and it's kind of shaped my style of photography and who I am and how I approach my creative process. So I love Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost like, it's one thing that really drew me to your work because I felt like it gave me, because I've never actually, I think I've driven through Detroit maybe once, but I've never actually been. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, when you're shooting a photo of somebody, Detroit is always kind of like the second or third character in the story almost of your work. And it's really like tied into what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what, when you say like that feeling, what is the feeling that Detroit gives you? Like, is it just like the familiarity of being home? What is it about it?
It's all those, like, yeah, it's definitely the familiar, like, cause my family's here, my friends are here. It's just like it feels like home because my home is here. But like I said, it's just like the city that made me who I am. And just like, I feel most inspired when I'm in this city, when I drive around the city, when I hang out with my friends, when I go visit my family, like those are the things that inspire me to take the photos that I take. I think early on in my career, I was taking a lot of photos of just like street life, you know, just like that kind of culture. And then like another side of Detroit is like, it's food, the people, the hardworking people. It's a city full of hardworking people. As you know, it gets very, very, very cold here in the wintertime and people still have that drive to go out, make some money and do the things that they got to do to survive and provide for their families. And that's super inspiring to me. And I just want to document that, get those people's stories out. I love like, I'm here for now, the documentation of the beauty of Black people. So like Detroit is the Blackest city in America. So for me, that's just like, It's an easy win as far as like creativity goes and like being able to document those things that I want to document.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's super cool. It makes sense. Yeah. And I think that kind of ties into like you finding your voice too as a creator. And I'm curious, like you have a very distinct style, you know, when you talk about like documenting Black life in Detroit as kind of where you've landed and what you do so well. I'm curious if that was just like very natural to you or is that just like instantly it kind of clicked like this is what I want to be telling stories about. This is what I'm drawn to. Did it take time for you to find your voice in that or is it just like a continual process for you? Like was it natural from the beginning? Like you knew this is what you wanted to tell stories about primarily.
I think I could say, I'll say both. I think it was natural, but like it at first it didn't like fall in to being like it wasn't natural at first because when I first started photography it was the typical like you see what's popular on Instagram or the internet in general and like you like I'm gonna take pictures of that because like that's what people are taking pictures of and like that's what's cool and like that's what people want to see because I mean when I first started I wasn't the photographer I am now, you know, so after that though, like I did try to go downtown Detroit, take pictures of buildings and like kind of just like city life, things that were not familiar to me. But while taking pictures of those things, I didn't get the feeling of the feeling that I was looking for through photography. Like that wasn't coming through for me. And it was because it wasn't true to who I was. And like I was going out seeking these things that like Detroit is not New York. Detroit is not LA. So like I'm going out and trying to take photos similar to these cities when I don't live in those cities. After sitting down with myself and just like trying to figure out why I'm not getting the feeling I thought I would be getting, I was like, maybe I just need to like take pictures of things that like actually matter to me, like the people I hang around with, my neighborhood, these streets that like I've walked on like my entire life. And once I started doing that, I got a different feeling and it just kind of took off. I wanted to take pictures every day. I wanted to take pictures all day. And I think it just fell into place after that. So after that kind of revelation, that's when it came just kind of natural to me. Like this is, I'm gonna shoot what's like what I care about and like what I love.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I love you talking about the feeling, because like I think like at least for me, and I think a lot of creators now, it's less about like, I think having that inner voice is like kind of hard to find sometimes, because I feel like I'm always looking at numbers, or and I know creators on like social media, like especially photography space, I'm sure like if you're trying to, you know, grow on Instagram or whatever, you can start to look for the signal of like, am I doing the right thing by all these outer voices, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So even you starting by shooting buildings and stuff, trying to make it look like, you know, what people might shoot in other cities, that's like probably a reflection of just what you saw online. And, and you're kind of like, well, maybe this is what photographers should shoot or whatever. But what's so cool about your story is like, it didn't feel right to you and you chased what felt right. And I think like, ultimately, that's what makes your work so striking. Like, some of the first photos I saw of yours were very like they just stand out and they are very distinct to what they are. But you can tell like you had to do some work to like ignore some of the noise to like be true to yourself and shoot what was real to you.
Yeah, for sure. I think anybody who lives in a Midwestern city, maybe Southern city, a Western city that's not like the coast of the West could probably understand how that feels, because I mean, our cities weren't built up to be those cities. Like New York was built up to be a city where people from other countries, other cities and everywhere, like where they come, like it's the hub for like a lot of things. So it was built up that way. Then LA is like very just Hollywood, like, you know, Hollywood's there. So like, you know, it's built up that way. And our city is like, we're built to like, my city in general was built for work. Like it was built for people to have jobs and go to work and to do things like the car industry, like, you know, General Motors is here. So like that's what my city was built up for. So like we clearly have different stories and different paths that we take as far as those things go. So you can be looking for the wrong thing in the wrong places a lot of the time. I feel like for a lot of people, because at the end of the day, it's just not going to have that same feeling. No city is going to have the same feeling as another city. I mean, it could come close, but at the end of the day, every city in America or across the world is different with different stories. And I think everybody should take time to get to know their city's story, because like me, there's a bunch of city stories that I don't know about that I would probably love to hear about. Like before me, people probably didn't know too much about Detroit.
Right.
So, you know.
No, that's true. I'm originally from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So like
I love Breaking Bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that's what anybody knows about us is Breaking Bad.
Right.
But yeah, and like I love Albuquerque and New Mexico so much. But it is, I feel kind of kindred to what you're talking about as far as like how much I love Albuquerque, and we're not there anymore. But like when I think of it, there's just so much depth. And there's so much history and so much going on there that's like beautiful and amazing and cool, but it's just not like maybe flashy in the same way that like a big city might feel. And it's a shame that it's not getting a little bit more, you know, attention, because it's such a cool place. And I would love for there to be, you know, somebody doing something similar to what you are for Albuquerque or for, you know, other towns that maybe don't get as much attention.
Yeah, bro. That would actually be cool, because the most I know about Albuquerque is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, but even that though, like I would love to see somebody like shooting deserts and just like The homes there look really unique.
Yeah.
Like, it would be super cool. Where are you at now, though?
I'm in New York now.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, okay.
So about as opposite as you can get.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, Albuquerque is beautiful. It's you know, for me, it's just like what I was raised in, but it is very unique, like the adobe homes. And we, Albuquerque, we have a mountain literally in the middle of our city, like in the middle of the town. It's like what you, how you tell where east is. You just see where the mountain is. And it's like really so many cool things and so much history, like so much crazy, crazy shit has happened there through history. And yeah, just the culture is really, really amazing. So anyone listening, please pick up a camera and make that YouTube channel, because it would be it would be awesome.
Honestly. Honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm curious. I was watching one of your recent vlogs. I think it was one of the more recent ones. And it was, there was a scene in it where you were like climbing over a fence to get a shot of a car.
Yeah.
And that made me think, you kind of mentioned in it, you show the photo that you took when you were like, you know, it's like a 10-foot high fence or whatever, and you're trying to climb over it, and you take this photo and then you show it. And afterwards you say like, it was an okay photo. It was like decent, but it wasn't great. And that kind of leads me to this question of, how many photos would you say you take in order to get one that you actually want to show people? Like, what is, like, what's the ratio of like, how much are you shooting photos and video until you actually land on like one thing that's worth showing, in your opinion?
I think I shoot. So with YouTube, it's interesting with YouTube, because like a lot of the time, like even if a photo isn't great, I'd still post it on YouTube, because I think a lot of the time my YouTube videos, like, they're about showing the process, and they're about just like showing how not every single photo that I take is an amazing photo. I do think sometimes people translate you showing certain photos as like, oh, look at this photo, it's really good. But I do take photos just to show like the process, and like that, you know, this photo may not be the greatest, but I did put it in here just to show y'all that, like, you know, I take regular photo, like, you know, not amazing photos all the time, like, but I take photos every single day. So, and I think it all depends on what I'm shooting. There's like, there's been times where an entire roll to me had a very good picture on it, and there's been times where I got an entire roll back and I was just like, I'm gonna put this in the trash, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's it's not worth it. So I think it just depends on what I'm shooting, how I'm shooting it, how I'm feeling. Because sometimes if I'm not up for it and I'm like taking photos of something that like I don't necessarily really care about, that kind of translate and comes through in a photo, at least to me, because like I know I didn't really care about this.
Right.
So for YouTube videos, it's different, because even if I don't care about something, I do try to shoot things that at least I still find a tad bit interesting, and things that like mean a little bit of something. But at the end of the day, not every single photo is going to be good. Like, that's just never going to happen. I don't think any photographer in this world takes a good photo every single time they take a photo. So, or maybe they do. Maybe there are some people out there who just can't be stopped, but I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. I feel like it's just like a volume game. Because it's like, if
the
more you shoot, the better you get over time, and the more you'll probably get ones that you're excited about.
Yeah.
But if you're not, because like you just said, you take photos every single day. So that's like, there's like this, I keep hearing people talk about like, people get lucky or whatever, but you can also like increase your luck. You can create like a wider surface area for luck to happen.
Yeah.
And I think like, that's kind of what you're describing, is like, you get luckier the more you take photos to get better ones.
I think sometimes you just like, as far as luck goes too with photography, I think sometimes you just end up in the right place at the right time. Sometimes where the sun's setting correctly, hitting, coming through a certain window at a time, and you just so happen to be there. But I think the more you go out and take photos, the more you put yourselves in that position to be lucky. But like, also, I was talking to someone the other day, and I was telling them how photography is like a sport. Like, not like you don't, well, it could be physical, because I do be tired, especially in the summertime, and I'm shooting, I sweat, tired. Yeah. Like, you know, I feel like I had a 4 days of work sometimes, but it is like a sport. Like, the more you practice at it, the better you become at it.
Mm.
Regardless, if you absolutely suck, like most photographers do when they first start, because I did, the more you do it, the more you just like learn things, and the more you see things, because like, I don't think everybody's born with an eye for photography. Sometimes that can be worked on, and like, not really taught, but like, you can teach yourself how to just like see things like in compositions and stuff like that. So, and just like, doing history lessons of other people's work that you might be interested in, like that helps and stuff like that. I think it's constant. Like I work on photography every single day, even if I'm not doing photography, whether that's photo books, looking at photos online, just walking around and just like training my eyes to like see things like through my camera. So I think there's ways you can get better at photography without physically doing photography. But I feel like a lot of people, they just like do photography, but like it's a lot more to it, at least for me. I can't speak for everybody, at least for me. So
yeah, that seems like it's also like in your nature though. Cause like, I think I grew up skateboarding and I don't.
Same.
Yeah, you did? Nice. So I don't see the world this way anymore. But when I was 13, 14, 15, when I was like heavy into skateboarding, I would see the world through this lens of like, could I skate that? Could, you know, like everything, any stair set, any ledge, anything. It was kind of like, I felt like everything, my mind was just so obsessed with skateboarding that like the entire lens I saw the world through was like, just could I skate that? And it sounds like that's kind of how you see photos now, where if you're like out in the world, your mind is kind of that way now with photos, maybe where it was with skating.
Yep. I used to skate a lot too. And I had like the same thoughts. Like every time I seen something, like, could I skate that? Uh-huh. Like that looks that like, that's a good stair set. That's a good ledge. Yeah, like literally just like that. So I think skateboarding helped me like already put me in a mind frame of like seeing things differently and like going out and just like looking for things that most people wouldn't necessarily look at for the reasons that I'm looking at it. So yeah, I think skateboarding, I think there's some photographer skateboarders that like, you know what I'm saying?
They're good.
I think photography and skateboarding just goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's like two very creative things that like are very, very much like the epitome of freedom.
For sure.
Basically, to me.
For sure. I feel like skate videos too were like, I was obsessed with skate videos growing up. And they were kind of like, they were pioneers in their own way of just like filming your own stuff. And like, did you watch skate videos too?
Dude. I watch nothing but skate videos. I didn't watch TV, like literally nothing but skate videos.
Yeah.
If you could see my history from like that time in my life, it'd be hundreds, probably thousands of skate videos. And like, that's it, like nothing in between.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah. I definitely like my memory isn't as strong with it nowadays, but I remember like, you know, so the old like Alien Workshop, Baker stuff. I always loved the Baker stuff because it was so extreme. Those dudes were so gnarly, like doing like 50 set. Like,
yeah, like to this day, Antoine Dixon is still like my favorite skater of all time.
Yeah.
Like insane, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fun. That's cool. Do you still skate?
I skate here and there. I used to obsess over skateboarding. Like there was a point where like I was truly like trying to go pro. Like actually, I was doing back 50s, not back 50s, but backside, like kick tails.
Damn.
I was getting into ledges during this time. Not ledges, but rails. Jesus. Okay. I was getting into rails, like handrails and stuff like that. So, and like right when I started doing like that stuff, got pretty decent at it. I had like this, I had like this kidney issue. Like I had a kidney issue and I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks. But while I was skating, I had got really sick. Like while I was skating one day, I just got like really sick. And stomach was hurting worse than it's ever hurt before. I was throwing up and stuff like that. And then I eventually went to the hospital and they told me my kidneys were failing. So I ended up spending like 2 weeks in the hospital trying to get my kidneys to, you know, come back to life. And after that, like after I got out of the hospital, I like no longer wanted to skate because I associated like that feeling of my kidneys failing with skateboarding. So like I kind of just stopped after that. But I feel like if that never happened, I'd probably still be a photographer, but like it wouldn't be like my first thing. Like I'd be skateboarding I'd be on Instagram skateboarding.
Wow. Why do you think you stopped? Like what do you think? Do you think skating was part of you getting sick?
It probably was because like I definitely used to, like I was young, didn't really like drink water that much. It was like just Mountain Dew.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, when you're a skater, bro, you just like, you drink and eat anything while you out there. So
100%.
It was Taco Bell, just Baja Blast and shit like that. So
right.
it then just like skateboarding for hours and like not having a sip of water at all. That could probably like, you know,
for sure,
you know, cause some dehydration because I was also super dehydrated when I went to the hospital. Like they're like, you're extremely dehydrated. And I think I just associated. You ever like ate something once and then like
threw
up? And then like you like, I'm never eating that again. And it's like, I feel like that's how it was for me with skateboarding. Like that whole experience, which was very traumatic for me at the time.
Yeah.
So every time I skated after that, I just thought like, oh, am I going to like have another episode where like I need to go to the hospital?
For sure.
So I think that kind of just like made me want to just try and do something else.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, I did try to get back into it and then I rolled my ankle really bad. And I was like, yeah, I'm just over it.
Right.
I'm over it.
Yeah. I feel that. My thing is fresh cut grass. Like I grew up before I was into skating, I was really into football.
Oh yeah.
And I,
bro, we've basically lived the same life. Like,
yeah,
I used to be on the football team in high school. It was, yeah, same thing.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the team I was on, we were like good, but the coaches were like crazy, not normal in that world. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I definitely had a few concussions when I was like a little kid from it. And anytime I would go to practice, it would always like smell like fresh cut grass. And during mm-hmm. that time, I was leaving almost every practice like these migraines where I was like throwing up. Like I was just really sick from the sport. So now to this day, if I smell fresh cut grass, like my wife will be like, oh, that smells so good, fresh cut. And I'm like, it makes me nauseous.
Nah,
like, I hate that. Yeah. So definitely resonate with that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get back to like your, cause you kind of touched on it earlier about your YouTube videos. And I think it's one thing that like really drew me into watching your, would you call them vlogs or would you just call them, like, what would you call them? Videos?
I don't know. I think they're just like photography vlogs. I feel like I try to make them like cinematic enough to like feel like kind of a short film in a way, but photography.
Yeah.
At least that's like how I want them to feel.
No, it does feel that way. And I thought that's what was so cool about it. I'd never really seen it. It feels very like multimedia to me because as you're watching, you're kind of like, you'll be like telling a story about your, I think the first video I saw of yours was you were like, woke up and you like cooked something and you're mm-hmm. like, it didn't work out. Like it didn't taste good or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're like telling this story about like just your day. And mm-hmm. then I think you went somewhere else to go, you know, like do like a stylized photo shoot in like a warehouse or something. I'm not sure if this is all the same video, but they're similar in that they're very much like you're telling the story of like your day. And then you're also telling the story of like the photos you're shooting that day, but then you also mm-hmm. show the photos like in the video. And I feel like it's such a creative way of telling this full story of like what's going on. I'm curious how you landed on that. Like, it just seems like a really smart way of just like fully showing your creative process from start mm-hmm. to finish. Like, what did that take time to develop like that style?
Yeah, I think it did take time because like, again, when I first started YouTube, I was like, all right, so like, what are film photographers? Like what's a film photography video? Like how is this set up? Like what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? So I kind of followed that like kind of style of making a film photography video for a while. But a lot of the time I kind of just want to be creative and I kind of just want to like show like me and my creative process within my videos and just like the things I like. And I'm happy that I started taking that style and approach to my videos because it's been making me a lot, like it's made me a lot happier, like watching my videos back. Cause I don't necessarily watch my videos back, but now I do because like, to me, they're more of like, they're not just like film photography videos. They're like, to me, they are like short films that I made because I usually try to like think of a scenario that like is very mundane and regular to everybody about like your day, like taking a shower or something like that. And then just like try to tie it into like what I'm shooting or like this event leading into why I'm doing what I'm doing next.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Like I have a video coming up where like shooting night photography and at the beginning of the video it's daytime and I'm like drinking mimosas with my girlfriend and then I pass out and fall asleep and like, so I'm going to go out and shoot photos, but I have some mimosas first and then I pass out and I fall asleep. So now I have no choice but to go out and take night photos.
Okay.
So that's, you know what I'm saying? I try to just like make things flow. Like even though it's like just me doing regular things, like how does this flow into me now going out to take photos?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's like, it makes it way more entertaining. Cause like that's like a story that I want to like see what happens.
Exactly.
Versus if you were like, yeah, I'm going taking photos tonight for night photography. That's like, exactly. Okay, cool. But like, you're making like it more of a fun story.
Yeah, like that's still cool, but it's like, yeah, how do I make this like a short film, basically, is what I think about. So,
right.
And I think just like making them square format, like 4x5 4x5. I think it's just like it gives it like an old sitcom-ish like kind of feel to it. Mm. So yeah, it's just like a lot of things that like I personally want like within my videos that like I kind of decided that I'm going to start doing because I actually do like directing. I like cinema photography a lot. I watch a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. Breaking Bad is probably my favorite TV show like ever of all time. Mm. Vince Gilligan is a genius. He shot some of that show with a Canon 7D. Like, bro, it's crazy. But yeah, I think just like, I think if like I wasn't a photographer, I'd probably would be a director or do some form of cinematography because I love that. So I'm happy I can like do that and showcase that part of like my creativity in my videos. And basically, when this is all said and done, I do want to make a black sitcom at some point. So hopefully this leads up to me being able to do that. So yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Is it?
See, I got the glasses on too. I kind of look like a film director. You feel me?
You do. Yeah. You have like the, like the 70s Scorsese energy going on.
Yep.
It's cool. Yeah. That'd be crazy to do a sitcom. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. I've been writing a lot of ideas down about it and just like not trying to get it prepared, but just like when it is time to like actually spring into action on this, just like have some things that I can present. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. I'm curious too with what you do. I think that there's a level of like, even what you're just describing, like maybe taking more like normal day-to-day stuff that like every person does and making it a little bit more interesting and like an interesting story that people can relate to. I do feel like it can, at least for me, I have like a fear of like, I think vulnerability can be kind of hard for me. And I think I think that there's a lot of power in like just being real and just showing what you're up to and like what a day-to-day life looks like. Was that and I think that that's a huge power in your videos. Like the fact that you're willing to, like what you said earlier, like show photos that you're like, yeah, this isn't the best photo I've ever taken, but I'm still going to show it because there's like a greater good in telling the story of the process of it.
Yeah.
Was that barrier difficult to overcome? Like being a little bit more transparent and not just like always showing maybe the bright sides, like the highlight reel that social media tries to like make us feel like was that a tough barrier to get over or was that pretty natural?
I think that was pretty natural because going back to like being from Detroit, that's just like something that we do. Like everybody's pretty like just straight up transparent and honest about a lot of things, at least like in my community we were. So like I kind of grew up basically being upfront and transparent about things. Also on the internet, I'm very open and honest and raw about like my emotions, whether that's how I truly feel about like just like my friendships or my relationships or whatever it may be, or like certain things that's happening in the world. I've always been just like super upfront and like open about how I personally feel about things. Mm. I've never like really strayed away from like showing people. Like that's the reason I shoot some of the things I shoot, because although not beautiful sunset, rainbow, nice light all the time, like this is still like, you know, something to be shown and something to be presented to the world. So I think just like being more open and honest and transparent has helped me. One, I think a lot of people can appreciate that because you don't see that a lot on the internet. And then two, some of the things that I talk about, some of the things that I say, and just like being transparent, these are sometimes it's some things that people want to say and want to be open about, but don't have the willpower to do so. Mm. So that can be kind of, you know, good for somebody else to see. So I always try to be open and transparent just to show a lot of other people, because sometimes it's not even always for me. It's just to show other people that you don't have to be a certain type of way on the internet just because we're on the internet. Mm. So yeah, I think it came pretty natural to answer the question.
Yeah. I felt like I saw one video where you were talking about, because like in a lot of your photos, there are guns. Mm-hmm. And I remember like, I really enjoyed hearing you just like, you were having like this very open dialogue about like, this is why I shoot photos with guns in them. Mm-hmm. Because I think you said in the video, you're like getting lots of comments, either, you know, negative or positive. And that was like an example where you were just like, this isn't like an argument about like whether guns are good or bad. I'm just like documenting what I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people use me because, like, I mean, I also, I don't know, like, I live in Detroit. Like, I come from a place where, you know what I'm saying? Like, guns are here. And I've seen them since I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And never once have I said that that was right or that it was wrong. So I think it's just, like, something that is, like, very much within my city and, like, my culture. Well, not my culture, but, like, my little community. Because I won't put that on everybody, clearly, right? So I do think it's, like, I don't know. And also, like, I think a lot of people take it as something else. Because the other day, I posted a video, my little short film called Black Beauty for Black History Month. And in that video, there were some people with guns. And someone commented on it, and basically they basically said that guns are not a representation of Black people, because in the video I was saying, like, this video is a representation of Black people. And they were saying guns aren't a representation of Black people, and they were saying, like, look like gang members and this and that and blah 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 blah, and, you know, that type of rhetoric. So I responded, and basically I was like, well, I hate to break it to you, like it or not, some Black people are gang members. Like, if that bothers you, but if this video, you saw this video and the first thing you thought was gang member, I'm not the problem, because a Black man can have a gun and not be a gang member. You know, a black man can have a gun and just, you know, be a law abiding citizen, just showing off his gun. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But regardless of what it is, you control the narrative of what you're looking at. So if you looked at that and you thought gang member immediately, even though this Black man has a bachelor's degree, helps out his community and does all the things that he needs to do, probably does more for his community than you do yours, and you thought gang member, that is not my issue. That's not my problem. But on the other side of that, I hate to break it to you, but some people are gang members. And, like, that's just, like, what society has set up for some people to fall into. And it's not their fault all the time. So regardless of anything, I'm gonna show whatever it is whatever it is. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable, and I'm not gonna, like, take something out of, like, my documentation to now make you comfortable, or to now make you comfortable around a group of people, or make a group of people comfortable around another group of people. Because they're basically saying, like, we look bad to white people, but, like, no, we don't. That's your own thought process. If you think this makes us look bad to white people, then, like, you have deeper insecurities that you need to figure out. This has nothing to do with anybody. So, So I don't know. I think it's just, like, I used to get really mad because I thought people should, you know, understand that. But as we're all aware, a lot of people don't understand it. And sometimes people just need a little bit more understanding, which is fine. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have no problem having a dialogue with people who truly want to understand. But, like, some people are just, like, they're anti-gun, which is fine. Guns is a sensitive topic, especially in America. So I get it. And then some people who follow me are not from America, so they don't understand at all why anybody would ever need a gun, or why they would ever feel like it's not safe to step out their front door, why they would feel like it's not safe to go to the gas station. And it's understandable, but I think it's the way you approach a dialogue. And then there's certain ways you cash your insecurities over something that has nothing to do with why you're insecure about it. So, I've had this conversation since, like, I started 2014. Yeah. So 2013. So it's not new to me.
Yeah. To me, it's like any photographer, anybody who's documenting anything, it's like I've never, when looking at your photos, feel like you're taking a stand of, like, I love guns or I hate guns, or you're just documenting what is in front of you, and you're taking great photos of what's there. And I just think it's interesting, but you're right. Like, that has to be, it's a very touchy subject here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think it takes a level of, like, that takes bravery too, to just be like, I'm going to post this and not really give a shit about, like, making people uncomfortable. Because it is what it is. It's not like what I wish it were or what I wish it weren't. It just is, you know?
It is what it is, bro. And, like, that's just what comes with documenting a culture or a community or anything. Like, there's people who document Skid Row. Like, are they not going to show, like, the atrocities and things that make me uncomfortable? Because I've seen some pictures of, like, you know, like, addicts, like, shooting up and stuff like that. And it's like, that makes my skin, like, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who would document something that's, like, so prevalent in something and then just not show it?
Right.
It makes zero sense. Like, why try to leave out something because it's going to make people uncomfortable. That makes no sense to me.
Right. Yeah. It's like the job of a good, you know, documentarian or photographer or artist to like tell the truth, not hide the truth, you know?
Yeah. I think we found out a lot of things through photography, like through photographers before me and through photographers before them. Like since the day of age, people have been documenting things that have made people uncomfortable. But without those like documentations, like we wouldn't be here as a society. Like we wouldn't be as progressed as a society now without those things.
For sure. For sure. And that's how we grow, is learning more, you know?
Exactly.
I'm curious too with that, like, you know, maybe this can be like where we land. This could be like my last question, but we can spend as much time as you want on it. I think like you said the word insecurity a lot in that. And I like a big part of like why I make the show and like what I feel strongly about is trying to help people overcome insecurity so like they can make cool stuff. Cause I think a lot of us have creativity in us and we have things that we want to produce and make in the world. But a lot, I would say most of the time, the thing that gets in the way is our insecurity or fear of things like that, things not working out. Do you, like, I'm curious, do you ever face insecurity in your work? And that might be the wrong question because you kind of mentioned like, no, you're pretty secure and you've learned over the years, but maybe like, what are some challenges you face often in your creative work? What are some things that are barriers that you hit often and how do you overcome them?
Interesting. Yeah, I do think that like, for me at least, something that I do struggle with a lot is, something I used to struggle with a lot is feeling like people owed me something. I felt like just because like I thought I was putting out great work and like that I loved it, that everybody else needed to also like it and feel the same way about it that I did. But it was a hard pill to swallow to realize that like nobody owes you anything. Like you create work for the sake of creating work. And regardless of how good it is to you, nobody else has to feel the same way about your work that you do. I go online, I see a lot of other people too. It can get, you know, pretty discouraging at a point because if you do feel like you're putting out fantastic work, like I worked so hard on this, I spent months on this, I spent years on this, you know, and you know, it doesn't receive the type of attention you thought it should, like that can be pretty discouraging. I feel like sometimes in a way too that could make people give up on something.
Yeah.
And in the past, it used to be really discouraging. It never made me want to give up because at the end of the day, I do still do this for me. I just wanted people to like what I was doing as much as I did. But it used to be tough for me to realize that like nobody had to care just because I care. So now it's been, but that's the thing about also just growing up and growing as a person too. And I feel like photography has forced me to kind of grow as a person, which is great because I feel like without photography, there are insecurities I would still have. There are like things that I would think and that would be my way of thinking. But I think photography has forced me to like realize, and the internet just like made me realize that, well, first of all, life is not all about me. There's billions of people in this world or millions. I'm not really sure if it's billions, but I'm sure that it's close. We're overpopulating. But there's a lot of people in this world and it's hard for me to think that every single person in this world or like at least every single person that even follows me has to care about something as much as I do. So yeah, that was a good lesson to learn on my own too, because then even in life, like just because I care about certain things, I can have an argument about political debates. And just because I care about one thing, granted, if it's right or wrong, it's right or wrong, but certain things that you can agree to disagree on, certain things in politics nowadays, you can't agree to disagree on, but the things that we can agree to disagree on, just because I feel a certain way about something doesn't mean somebody else has to. So I think that's a pretty good lesson I learned within photography and just something that's like helped me just create better work, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because now I just like do it because I've always done it because I loved it. But now I truly just like, I don't care how this is going to be perceived. I don't care how many people like it. I like it. And that's all that matters. Mm.
That's a huge one. I think that is like massive. I think that, yeah, I feel like I have a lot of friends and even myself, like I struggle similarly where, you know, you can get this, especially in creative work, especially online, where you're like, what the hell? Like, why isn't my stuff getting more traction or why don't more people care? And I truly think it's like a symptom of all of us wanting the world to revolve around us. And I think
100%, 100%.
And I think you're right. Like the most sobering, but like the best thing you could ever do for your work is to stop believing the world revolves around you, because then you understand like, oh, like, you know, yeah, I talked about this in a podcast a while ago about I had like these lessons from my 20s, but one of the lessons was you're not special, but you can become special. Mm-hmm. You can make yourself special. Like nobody is special. At least, I mean, you're special to your friends, your family, your loved ones, obviously. Yeah. But like in the marketplace of creative work, business, making anything online for people's attention, like nobody's special.
Yeah.
You have to become special. And no one owes us their attention or time or energy or, to your point, caring about your work at all. You have to like earn that by making good stuff.
1,000%.
And for me, I know like there have been so many seasons of my life doing creative work where I'm like, what the hell? Like I'm making cool stuff and no one gives a shit or whatever. But it's like, clearly it's just, they're not the problem. I'm the problem. Like I need to make better stuff clearly, or I need to, or I need to do something else. And I think, or you need to stop caring about the attention of others or what you're getting or not getting. And to your point, following what's real to you and then just letting that be your compass. Cause yeah, I think that's a huge, huge trap I think a lot of us fall into.
Yeah. I mean, social media is toxic and is, I don't know, made people feel like that just because they're on social media, that just because they do something on social media, that everybody has to care about it. Like, especially everybody in that community. So in the photographer community, it's like, I do something and I think is, you know, cool and inspiring or whatever it may be. And nobody cares or watches it or sees it or, you know, basically just care about it. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But especially a young kid that's like trying to get into this and they're like trying to follow their dreams and stuff like that, or even an adult that's trying to get into this like off the bat and like they're trying to follow their dreams or just trying to do something with their work, it can be discouraging that like nobody cares. But the thing is, people do care. That's the thing. Like I made a film for my Black History Month film. It took months to make, like maybe 6 months to make, because I was just like gathering footage for like 6 months. And to me personally, it's a film that should have received 100,000 views or more, but it got like 15,000 or something like that. But I'm happy with that because that is 15,000 people. 15,000 people is a lot of people, regardless of what the internet wants to make you believe. 500 people is a lot of people. 100 people is a lot of people. And I feel like a lot of people don't take that in stride. They like always feel like they deserve more. But I remember when I first started on Instagram, I had got 12 likes on a photo and I was like telling everybody, like, bro, I got 12 likes on this photo. I'm lit. You know what I'm saying? Like, like that was a lot for me. And like that meant a lot to me that 12 people in this world liked my photo. So I think it's just like with social media, everybody always just feels like they deserve more because they see other people getting more. So they're like, I deserve that. But there's people who have that. Like, there's people who are getting 100,000 views and they're like, but there's people getting a million views. I deserve that. And then there's people getting a million views and they're like, there's people getting 10 million views. I deserve, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you think like that, it'll always be a never ending process of you feeling like you need more or want more. So I feel like everybody should just be grateful with what they do get. And I do fall into it here and there where I'm like, dude, what's the deal? Because outside of just like feeling like you deserve a lot, I work really hard. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like a lot of people who like work really hard on something feel like they deserve that because they worked really, really hard on it. But I don't know, man. Architects work really hard to build buildings and then people walk in them and not care. So you know what I'm saying? Just because you work really hard on something don't always mean you need to also get recognition. It's a just cycle to me.
Well, it's like this never ending game, and it's like and it's making us miserable if we don't like get off the wheel. It'll just keep spinning forever of like, to your point,
for sure,
you know, you could have like 15,000 views, like 15,000 people that could fill an arena, like a sport, like that's so many people that care about this video you made.
Exactly.
But when you have it in your mind, like 100,000, a million or whatever, it's like, it's just never enough. And that mentality of like
100%,
nothing being enough, it's like, it's just going to make us miserable forever to live that way, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I did have one last question I forgot to ask earlier. I'm curious about like your balance between like client work and personal work. Like, because I know you've done client work in the past, like how much of your like day-to-day job would you say is client work versus personal work? Like, is it all personal stuff now for the most part? Like, how are you doing
that? It's all personal.
Okay.
I like hardly ever do client work ever. Like, just like for the, I do like the sponsorships on like my channel for YouTube and stuff like that. But like, that's just like kind of ad reads and just like incorporating an ad into my videos. But for the most part, I just do things solely for myself now. I do like doing client work here and there. Like, it depends on what it is. There are certain things I just like, I can't do, like, because it's just, I'm either bored, I don't want to do it. And back in the day, I would have done any form of client work for money because, like, you know, I need to live. But I do think there's a way to survive off of your photography by doing personal work, just doing things that are personal to you. Like the Black History Month project that I made, I'm probably going to make prints of it at some point. You know what I'm saying? It's probably going to be a print run of that. There's just a lot of things that you can do to where you don't need a brand or a client. I don't know. I wouldn't say supporting you, but like providing for you financially. Like, you're doing all these shoots because, you know what I'm saying, you're making money and stuff like that. But I've recently done like things with Adidas and FTP, some other brands and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes those things just make sense and I do it because it makes sense. But for the most part, mostly for me, I do personal work and like, that's it.
That's a dream.
Which is a blessing to do. I know a lot of people don't have that opportunity to just do, because I'm sure a lot of people would love to just do personal work and that's it. But, you know, for me, I'm blessed enough to be able to do that. So
yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. That's the dream. Do your own thing. It's awesome. Have you should do an NFT collection. Have you ever thought about doing NFTs?
NFTs is a crazy subject, bro, because it's like...
I feel like the photography world's really catching on right now. And I see like, we had Jeremy Cohen on a couple months back and he had like an awesome rooftop series that like, it's done pretty well for him, I think, as an NFT. But I know it's controversial though. There are mixed feelings.
Yeah, for sure. For sure controversial. I think I have no problem with NFTs, people who do NFTs, great. I feel like anybody wanting to monetize their work, I know it's more to it than just like monetizing your work and stuff like that. But anybody who wants to become a part of like a community and dive into that community for the right reasons and stuff like that, then by all means, do what you want to do. We're talking about grown adults here too. So like, do whatever you want to do. I know there's like controversy because of like how much energy it produces and stuff like that. And just like what it's doing to the environment. But there's a lot of back and forth. Like, I do remember one day I just went on YouTube to just like watch pros and cons and like pro videos, like pro NFT videos and like, no, don't do NFT videos. Yeah. And they both make very good points. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just like up to whoever does NFTs or whoever doesn't do NFTs, like what they want. I personally have no interest in doing them no time soon, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm not very in the space, but I would definitely buy an NFT of yours. I think a lot of people would if you ever went out and did it. But I get it.
I'll keep that in mind.
I get it though. Like, I do think it's, and especially if you're like doing well on your own, it's kind of like this whole other channel, this whole other world. It's literally a whole new economic system. It's there's a giant learning curve. There's a lot of scammy stuff. It's like pretty unpredictable. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, I want to fully put myself in that world too. If you're already like doing well, you know, without it, like, I don't know. I see the pros and cons too. I've been like going back and forth. Like, one day I'm like, whoa, this is the most amazing thing ever for creators. Like, this is really opening up lots of economic opportunities for anybody and really leveling the playing field. But then there's also the side of me where, to your point, it's like really bad for the environment. Lots of things about it that are scammy. It's like a mixed bag. So I definitely hear that.
Yeah.
Man, Volandis, thank you so much for being on the show. Where do you want people to connect with you? I'd mentioned, you know, you've been really pushing your Twitch streams lately, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Instagram. Where do you want people to connect?
So I'm basically Volandis on every platform you could think of. Xbox, LinkedIn.
Yes.
But no, definitely follow me on Instagram at Volandis. My YouTube is Volandis. My YouTube's probably what I put like most of my effort into. So definitely check out Volandis. We have a Discord channel called Voland. So it's Voland. pretty, you know what I'm saying, double entendre. But yeah, follow the Discord. If you're a photographer, the Discord's great because we have a bunch of photographers just in there connecting and sharing their work and just talking about photography. And like the things we talked about today, like people are in there talking about those things all the time. And it's also just like a place where you can go and share pictures of your pet, the food you ate, the music you're listening to, whatever games you're playing. It's just like a cool place for creatives to go talk about photography and also just like be a regular human being and talk about the things that they're also interested in. So the Discord's great. The streams are great because we talk about photography on there. Like we go over the photos in the Discord. So a lot of people post their photos in the Discord and watch the streams to like kind of see like in real time, like me looking over the photos and like people like, it's just like super dope to see like the community coming together. Super dope to also talk to my like followers in real time and stuff like that. And we also play some games. I played like Resident Evil the other day. Shit was scary. it's just cool though, bro. So
nice.
Yeah, Valandis on Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Vudland on Discord. We got a lot of things going on.
Perfect. Man, thank you so much for being on the show. Everyone, I can't recommend it enough. I personally watch you on YouTube primarily, but I also follow you on Instagram, so highly recommend both. So
I really appreciate that, bro. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to get more conversations sent directly to your inbox, head over to alexsug.com and sign up for the newsletter. And as always, please go leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for this show. And last but not least, this episode was edited and produced by Josh Perez. If you're looking for help with your podcast, Josh is the dude. He's a great producer and an even better human being. So please get in touch with him at justjoshperez.com. I'll be back soon with another new interview. So until then, let's go make something cool.